Well, good day to everyone, and welcome to our eighth session in Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say. And I do trust that you've been saying, as I have been doing in my personal time with the Lord, and really as I walk, I just let these things come out of my mouth, that we are the redeemed of the Lord, and say some of the things that we've been redeemed from. As last week, we begin talking about the blessing, and we not only saw we've been redeemed some from something, but to something. So we added the phrase, let the redeemed of the Lord say, I am the blessed of the Lord. So today, as we delve into this even more, talking about really, it just keeps getting better, and I'm referring to the blessing as we're going to study. I want us to open our hearts up to receive, because we're going to ask some questions today that we need to answer. We're going to be honest with ourselves and make sure that we have this in our heart and it's not just something that we mentally assent to. So, Father, today as we study, we all just agree that we're opening our hearts to you. So, Holy Spirit, have your way and minister us the details of what each of us needs to position us strongly in this word, to establish us on a firm foundation regarding these words. And we declare when you do, we will never be the same again. We are the blessed of the Lord. Amen and amen. Now, we've been anchored in Psalm 107, verse 2, which let the redeemed says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. And we say in the word say in the Hebrew literally means to publish, to declare, even to command. And so that's why we've been making declarations about being free from the curse. And the Father doesn't want any of us to have any part in the curse. We looked at Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2, once again, but a little more in depth. Now it shall be, and the if part again, you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you will obey the Lord. Now, what have we seen? That we're qualified for this, not by the works we do, but by what Jesus did. We've been set on high with him, and thus we're in a position to receive as being Abraham's heir, a son of Abraham, a joint heir with Jesus. We're able to receive the blessing of the Lord, and I think this is real good news. Now, the other part that I want us to remember in verse 2 was where it says, all these blessings will be coming on and overtaking us, just like gravity does. Gravity is there. It's always upon us, and it's always acting. Deuteronomy 28, we read last week, the 3rd through the 6th verses. Now, I'm going to go through that, but after each verse, I'm just going to make a comment about the things that we talked about in a great deal of summary. If you didn't hear it, and if something raises a question with you, then go back and listen to session 7. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall be in the country. Now, that means the blessing is on you. No matter where you go, where you are in the city or the country, where you go, you are blessed. Just like Abraham was, just like Isaac with the wells was when he had to move. Verse 4 says, blessed shall be the offspring of our body and the produce of our ground, and the offspring of your beasts and the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. So we begin to see with this one, we spend a great deal of time talking about this is a family blessing in every way. It impacts the businesses which these families had, which was what? Heavily agriculture related. But if the blessing worked not only in their family life, but in their business life, then we know it applies to us today. Verse 5 says, blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. King James says, in other translations, may say your store or storehouse. And we saw that the basket equals the resources that we have on hand, while the kneading bowl represents what can be available to us as the on-hand material is diminished. It's really like we have a checking account that we write checks from, and then we have savings accounts that we can move or draw from into the checking account. Finally, in verse 6, it says, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Again, the blessing is upon you, and it includes protection, being kept wherever you go. And we saw scriptures that tells us where this phrase is used, that it's also dealing with battles or conflicts or wars. And so know that you're protected. Now, don't think about this just in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense as well, because the devil, he's going to be at war with us all the time, but he has no legal right, and he knows he's lost. Now, I want to mention a verse that I didn't mention last week. The Lord really, as I was putting this summary together, dropped this into my heart. But it's Psalm verse 12, and I think we alluded to it early in the study. From the New American Standard, it reads this way, "For it is thou who dost bless the righteous man." So here we see blessing. "O Lord, thou dost surround him with favor," or we might say grace, "as with a shield." So we have favor in every direction we turn, but do you see the tie? That favor is upon us because we are the blessed of the Lord. And so let that just build in your spirit that everywhere you turn, the blessing is there with you. We also saw in 2 Timothy 1:12, that it is important, as Paul is writing here, to note and that we be persuaded that he is able to keep that which we have committed to him until that day, until the day of his calling us home, until the day of his return, whatever that is. But we must commit, really, not just on this verse 6, protection or keeping, but on every subject we've been talking about and will continue in today. We need to commit that to him. We need to commit the very blessing to him that he is able to keep it from us, for us. And really what that translates to is what? An expectation of good. And you're going to see that come up again today as we study. So today, the title is The Blessing, It Just Keeps Getting Better. So we're going to pick up in verse 7 and I'm going to read through verse 13. And then we'll begin talking in detail about these 7 verses. But we're actually going to begin right in the middle of these 7 verses as we finish the initial reading. The Lord, verse 7, Deuteronomy 28, "The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one on one way and shall flee before you 7 ways. Verse 8, "The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives to you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he swore to you, if you will keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in all his days." Verse 10, "So all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you." Verse 11, "And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your beasts, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you." Verse 12, "The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give you rain in your land, in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you only shall be above, and you shall not be underneath, if you will listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today to observe them carefully." Now again, let me remind you, we're qualified not because of works, but because of what Jesus did. But even that doesn't mean that we have a right to not be obedient. Now, I think we need to examine, or maybe I should say search ourselves, on how those verses that we just read, how we reacted to them as I read them to you. And I believe these are anointed verses. And you have the same Holy Spirit, so that's why the anointing working in me and working in you should bear witness with each other. So I would ask this question. What is our expectation of good for ourselves, for each of us? Is it good, or is it something that we assent to mentally? We say, yeah, I believe it's true. You know, it looks like it ought to be true. The Bible says it, so I guess it is. But do we see it as something that is not really attainable as far as we as individuals are concerned? In other words, am I wanting this to be true? Am I wishing it was true? And am I hoping in the sense of the earthly hope, which we know heavenly hope has an expectation? Earthly hope is just a wish. So let's go back and look at verse 10, because I think this is a defining verse in these seven verses. So all the peoples of the earth shall see that you, each of us individually, us collectively, which is why it's so important for us to have unity, that we are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. They shall fear you, or we might be better said in our words today, they might hold you in awe, see you as an awesome people. Now, I want to say with this, we should never, as we look at this verse, we should never forget that our primary duty, once we're born again, in terms of our actions here on this earth, obviously to worship and serve the Lord, but to do so by being a witness. We are all called to be a witness, to be a testimony to the world, so that the power of God is seen in us. In other words, His Word at work in our life is seen. Or said another way, the gospel of salvation is demonstrated in the power of God. Now, why am I reading this? Because I think once we're born again, this is where the devil attacks us. He doesn't want us doing what? Demonstrating the Lord's power. The Lord working through us, in us, and for us, for other people. Now, we are called in Scripture His children, His people, His portion. We're called His inheritance, the church. Is called Jesus' bride. And all these are saying that we are His and He is ours. Me and Him and Him in me. And I want you to see now that this is the middle verse of these seven. And all that precedes this verse and all that comes after it is a strong testimony of His love for you and I, His people. And today we know that can be all people. They just need to be born again. And I'm going to say again, we're called to be witnesses. And I think more so as the time draws near. You know, I hear people use a phrase, and I think if you really ponder it for a few minutes, that they don't realize the magnitude of what they're saying. This is the phrase, God is good. And everybody will say, all the time. And I would even add, for me or to me, God is good all the time to me. Now, when they're saying that, they don't realize that it is truth and that it is the blessing at work that is being displayed in this truth. So again, the magnitude of what we have goes far beyond what we sometimes say, and I won't say, I don't know a better word. I'll use the word flippantly. We say it with good intent, but we don't let it come out of our spirit so that we really see it become real and we manifest it in our lives. Look at Psalm 126 with me. We're going to look at just the first few verses, verse 4, and I've put this and I'll leave it in your notes, since it's the Passion Translation. But this version just really struck me as I was putting these notes together. So it starts out, it was like a dream come true when you freed us. Now I want you, as we read it, to relate to every aspect. We've been freed, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So it was like a dream come true when you freed us from our bondage and brought us back to Zion. Now for them, Zion was a place. For us, Zion means our God. So when he freed us from sin, he brought us to himself. Verse 2 continues, we laughed and laughed and overflowed with gladness. We weren't left shouting for joy. We were left shouting for joy and singing your praise. Now notice this line. All the nation saw it and joined in by saying, the Lord has done great miracles for them. In other words, they saw the power of the Lord at work in them through the blessing that was upon them. Verse 3, yes, he did mighty miracles, and we are overjoyed. Now, when I was reading that, I want to go back and take the end of 2 and the beginning of 3. The Lord has done great miracles for them, and we can say for us too. But think about this. The Lord has done great miracles for them. Yes, he did. We could almost put an exclamation point there. But it continues on. He did mighty miracles, and we are overjoyed. Now, Lord, do it again. In other words, if we mess up, thank you that we've been restored. Restore us to our former glory. And then listen to this last phrase. May streams of your refreshing. Now, underline in your notes or make a note of the word streams. May streams of your refreshing flow over us until our dry hearts are drenched again. So this is a continual thing that is going on for us. Now, with that background, let's go back to verse 7. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and shall flee before you seven ways. This part of the blessing is still active for you and I today. And again, we need to see it in a dual mode. We can see it in our physical protection on this earth, and we can see it in our spiritual protection that we have through the blessing. Now think of how often this happened to the children of Israel, as we've looked at many occurrences, both individuals as well as in a corporate sense as well. It's just as active today, these words. They're just as true. They're just as powerful if we'll do what? If we'll believe it. Now, if it happened for an entire nation, the people of God, then that just says to me, if we as the church today would not fail in what we're called to do, being a witness, I would say, if we were so united that these blessings just flowed like streams, like living water flowing from us, think what would happen to us. Think what a testimony that would be as enemies come against us and then flee. I even think about our nation in this way. There is one point, though, that I want to make, and we must note this. This does not mean that you won't ever have to come face to face with your enemy. Think about 2 Chronicles 20, the children of Israel with Jehoshaphat set the praisers out to go what? To go first to face the enemy. I thought about in 2 Kings 7 when the four lepers were starving and they were scared to go to the camp of the enemy who had encircled them. But what did they do? They got bold and they headed down there and faced them off directly. So how could they do that? Well, confident trust, praising, being bold, just like these two examples in the Old Covenant did. Confident trust in His Word. Verse 8 picks up. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to. He will bless you in the land the Lord gives to you. Now, does this remind you of some other verses that we may have looked at? When it talks about He will command the blessing upon us. Leviticus 25, verses 20 and 21, talking about the seventh year of land of the, when the land would rest, and then Jubilee, the 50th year, where there was a 49th week and a 50th week that they 50th year that they celebrated. Remember, it says, and if you shall say, what shall we eat in the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. And then the Lord says, then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall be bring forth fruit for 3 years. Now, understand, this blessing has already been put in place for you and I. This command has already been spoken for you and I. And so for us today, then, as we note this phrase, all that you put your hand to, this can be for each person who works in their own business, or it can equally apply to a person who is working in a business for someone else. What I'm saying is, we can be blessed no matter if we're working for ourselves or for someone else. And when we're working for someone else, we're blessed to do what? Be that blessing. Be a blessing. So you're blessed when you're diligent, when you apply yourself, and you have a promise that says that that business will be blessed as well. Your boss ought to be saying things about you being blessed in the business where he's prospering as well, just like Potiphar did about Joseph. Just like Joseph was lauded by Pharaoh when he took over the number two position. You got to see this now. Joseph was blessed, and so the whole land of Egypt and the Potiphar's household were blessed. And also note it says, in the land where the Lord gives you, or might say today, where he sets you. And again, I'm going to tell you, the Lord has a place where he wants each of us, that we need to find it. Just like Elijah, we talked about last week, going by the brook Cherith and then to the Samaritan woman. And even Joseph, the same is true there. Because Joseph, what, had a dream, and he was obedient to the word of the Lord. He has a place for each of us. Verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. Now, if he's done that, then go back to our teaching on righteousness. You know that we have been made righteous in this. And he swore he would do that to us if we would keep the commandments and walk in his ways. So he set us apart, he freed us from sin, but he's also, as we were redeemed from the hands of the enemy, we've now been placed in his hands. Let me give you three witnesses. This just amplifies the protection that we talked about last week. John 10:29. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Later, Jesus said that about himself. 1 Peter 2:9, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. And don't miss this phrase, that you may proclaim, that you may say, there's that word, the excellencies of him who has called you out of his darkness into his marvelous light. Now, don't get limited in your thoughts about this verse where it says we're a peculiar people in the King James. I've heard pastors just make fun of that. Boy, that certainly describes us. No. Understand, you're special. Yes, you're peculiar and yet you're different. But you've been called and set apart by him. And finally, Deuteronomy 26:18-19. And the Lord has today declared you to be his people, a treasured possession, just as he promised you, and that you should keep all of his commandments, and that he shall set you above all nations which he has made, for praise, fame, and honor, that you should be a consecrated people, a people set apart and set unto to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken. But do you remember that this is a choice we must make? He set before us life and blessing, death and cursing. And what did he tell us? Choose life. And then we come back to verse 10, which we'll just read one more time. So all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall not be afraid of you. See how this, the verses we just read in 7, 8, and 9 lead up to this? And you're going to see those that follow will well. He has done great things for us. Verse 11. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, and in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your beasts, and the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to give you. So here it is. Again, emphasizing verses we've seen earlier, last week. And it's really just emphasizing his heart toward us as he repeats these verses, which I think were 4 and 5, even verse 8 that we read earlier. We must note now that New Testament prosperity, which is what people will think of with these verses, is not about an amount of money. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. I'm going to read it in New Living, then New American Standard. It says, God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Now, how is this possible? Well, if we read it in the New American Standard, the way it reads, it gives us an insight. It's not just a translation. It's not just a transliteration. It's a translation. God is able to make all grace abound to you. That grace is how it happens. That you, having all sufficiency in all things or everything, may be able to have an abundance for every good work. Now, what do we have to do? This almost one of those sounds too good to be true. We're going to have to be humble about it, submit ourselves to his word, and then watch it work in our life. Now, these next two, I think, are critical that we understand it. Verse 12. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give you rain in your land in its season and to bless all the works of your hands. And it concludes by saying, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Now, what is rain a symbol of? Well, it's a symbol of both the Holy Spirit and a blessing. Now, rain was essential in an agrarian society. And so what is he telling us here? It's no surprise that he's telling us he's giving us this rain. Do you remember earlier when we talked about the streams flowing? It all flows from the Holy Spirit, which has been given from you and I. So it's a physical sense, but it's also a spiritual sense with the former and the latter-day rains that we have studied before. And it should be no surprise, because we saw it in Psalm 126, the fourth verse. We saw it in 1 Corinthians 1:12, where it talks about the Holy Spirit's been given so that we can know all these good things. But now here's the part I really want to emphasize, and it's essential that we get it. He says, you shall lend, but not borrow. And let me just say, being blessed with things does not mean we're weighted down with debt. Debt places yourself under the control of others. Now, in a perfect sense, I would have chosen never to have any debt in my life. I didn't. Starting as a young person with a family, we borrowed money for a house, borrowed money for cars, but mainly I try to go into debt when I'm purchasing something that will appreciate. Now, if we've done it, then we know what? We don't have to condemn ourselves. Why am I saying this is important? Because when we place ourselves in debt, we are placing ourselves under the control of others. In other words, we're reducing our choices. It makes it more difficult when the Lord says, arise and go to pull up and change when you're burdened with something because of debt. But what is this telling us? It's saying we can be free. We can be free of debt. And the very next verse amplifies it. I've heard some testimonies as some of the men at our church just recently testified about being debt free. And they would tell you, and so will I, that it is so freeing to be able to be free from bondage to others, from owing people financial things, so that you can do exactly what the Lord wants you to without worrying about what a lender might say. And now this continues in verse 13, because I think it gives us an idea of how crucial this is. And the Lord should make you the head and not the tail. and you shall be on, you only shall be above and not be underneath, if you will listen to the commandments of the Lord, which I charge you this day, to observe them carefully. Now that first phrase, make you the head and not the tail. May I just say it simply? I think about my dog. When Millie is walking, her head leads the direction that she wants to go. The tail that she has no choice. It follows. We don't want to be guided by earthly, worldly systems. We want to be guided by the Spirit of God that leads us in the direction. And when we are burdened with more debt, and so many people try to get so much that they really are heavy upon them, then you're going to have to follow after where the one who owns the note leads. Above and not beneath. Now, that's the same thought. You want to be above the world system, not beneath one where you're pressured or burdened by them. It reminds me of being burdened with a heavy yoke. In other words, when we're talking about this, we're talking about he's placing us in a place where he's declaring we can be free from the hand of the enemy. Now, all these verses that we've just read, 3 through 13, last week and this week, we have a warning at the end of it. And it goes back to this if. It's we that choose. Do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, and look what happens when we disobey his words and we turn to the right or to the left. Look at this last phrase, to go after other gods to serve them. We should never put ourselves, and let's talk about the money from verse 13 again. We should never put ourselves in a position where we have to serve money. The financial blessings we have are for us to serve God and serve others. So don't turn aside from my words. He is equating to turning away from him to serve other gods. So we can't be drawn to the lure of the blessing and like the what we're blessed with more than we honor the one who blesses us. Now, why am I making a big point about this? Because this will break the connection with the blessing and do what? Connect us again. As the devil's always looking for something. Well, you just got that, but you just need. Or maybe it's thoughts in other ways where we would sin. We don't want that connection with the enemy to come. In other words, the connection to the curse. So as we wrap up today's, and I think we'll have a chance at finishing this study next week in week 9, we can say we are the blessed of the Lord, and we have been redeemed from the hand of our enemy. We can further say, we are blessed and not cursed. We also should declare, Father has separated us to himself, and people see that we are his prized possession, his precious possession, his chosen possession. We can also declare the curse has no right to us. Father does not want us to have any element of the curse in our life. And he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, saints, we can enter into this. But we're going to look next week. We're going to enter into it with rest. Just as the Lord told us that the children of Israel would not do. Because that is how we walk into it. And it's how we remain in that position as the blessed of the Lord. So we look forward to being with you next week as we, I think, conclude this study. Don't hold me to it because the Lord may change that. But we look forward to it. Think about these things. Declare these verses over yourself. Even if you don't see it in your life today, declare it over yourself and watch the Word begin to work in you. Have a great week and we'll see you very soon.